Well, it don't take much to run some folks off. Amen. Amen. I'm glad they didn't take their wives with them. We have out front, Miss Pam's CDs are out there, and she still just has four. And if you don't have one of those, we'd be happy for you to take one home for a price. All right. Let me keep that in mind. But we do have some new prayer cards, and they're free, and they're out front on the table. If you will, take one, take it home with you, put it up somewhere that it would remind you to pray for us, because we certainly need and desire your prayers, and we would appreciate that. God's been good to us. He always is. That's God. I mean, we act surprised sometimes that He's good to us, but He's always good, and we ought to not get complacent with that, but it ought to refresh us all the time that God's good. And we praise Him for that. But He's brought us through a lot of things already this year, taking us a lot of places, and we've just been very busy preaching, and we praise the Lord for that, and been seeing some souls saved, and been seeing some great things happen in churches. It seems like there's a spirit of revival begin to move in some churches. I'm serious, and I'm not looking for a worldwide revival, though it could happen. God can do whatever He wants. Amen. Amen. We're looking for Jesus to come back, but He could just revive this old wicked world and prolong His coming. Amen. That's His business. You say, well, I don't know. Nobody asked your opinion. Amen. God didn't ask me for my opinion. Okay? So God can do what He wants to because He's God. And we try to limit Him sometimes, and sometimes we do limit Him because of the lack of faith in our lives. But we just need to trust Him and believe in Him. But we've been in churches. It seems like there's a spirit of revival moving in. And I think folks are just getting kind of tired of going to church, just going to church. A lot of folks do that. They just go to church. And I think their folks are getting tired of that, and now they're wanting to meet with God. And there's a big difference, you know. And so I'm excited about that. But the Lord is good to us, and we praise Him for His goodness and mercy. Excited about this week. See what the Lord's got for us. I believe we're going to have a great time. I'm going to have a great time. How many of you would want to have a great time this week? How many of you just satisfied being bored? Okay, well, there's a couple of you, the ones that are already asleep. And so we don't want to interrupt your nap, amen. But we're going to have a good time this week. I believe God's going to meet with us and stir our hearts. Now, some of you are not going to come back because Sunday mornings is enough for you. I don't know how your cup can be that big, but bless your heart, amen. But some of you are going to want help from heaven. Some of you are going to want to hear from God, and you're going to be here every service. I mean, you're going to make it you're going to go out of your way to make it happen. You really are. You're going to have to do that, you know. You have to go out of your way to serve God, because it's not a natural thing. The natural thing is for man to serve himself. That's the natural thing. But this week, some of you are going to want to serve the Lord, and you're going to put Him first. And it's going to make a difference in your life, not just for this week, but for next week and the next and the next and the next and on and on and on. He will make a difference. Amen. And so we're excited about that. All right. And boy, I tell you, the possibility of seeing souls saved this week. The good news of hearing Brother Andrew, you know, joining the Air Force and leading souls to Christ. Praise God. That's exciting. See, that's what God wants us to do. No matter where we are, we need to serve the Lord and be faithful to tell folks about Jesus. Amen. He's the greatest person that's ever came along in our lives. And we ought to want to share Him with others. Open your Bibles this morning to the book of John. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Now, Brother Justin told me that y'all have changed y'all's time of getting through on Sundays now, and you try to get out by 1 o'clock. And so I'm going to try my best to let you out by 1 o'clock, all right? Another one bites the dust. Amen. John chapter 3, verse number 1. And I'm sorry, verse number 16. John 3:16. Let me get my mind on the message. You stand with us today if you're able. If you are able to stand with us. If you cannot, that's all right. God understands. But we want to stand and show reverence to the Word of God. John chapter 3 and verse number 16. Most of you could have stayed seated and quoted this, but we need to read it from time to time to refresh our, not our memory, but our sight of the Word of God. In John chapter 3, verse number 16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you this morning, Lord, for your precious word, and God, for how precious it is to us, and Lord, for God, the work that you've done in our lives through your word. Lord, for the faith you've given us through your word. For the love that we've experienced from you through your word. Lord, the love that we have toward one another through your word. Father, it all comes through your word, and we thank you. We pray today, God, that you once again would speak to us. Lord, I pray, dear Lord, for that soul that is here lost, that this will be the day that they realize their lost condition. And Lord, that they'll realize they don't have to continue lost, but they can be saved. They don't have to die in their sins and go to hell, but they can go to heaven. Lord, they don't have to live that old life of sin, letting it drag them down deeper and deeper in the pit. But Lord, they can rise above that, Lord, and serve you and live for you, Father. God, we thank you this morning, Lord, that there is victory in Jesus. It's not just a saying, it's not just a song, but Lord, thank you that it's a reality. And Father, we just pray now that you'll bless the Christian today that's struggling alone, that they'd realize, Lord, they need to lay their burdens down at your feet and take up your burdens, for your burdens are light. Lord, I pray today, God, that they would come to you, and Lord, that they'd get things right in their life and start just trusting in you. Have thine own way this morning, Lord. Speak through us, dear Lord, and speak to us in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We look at John 3:16. As I said, most of you could quote it. Many, many of you could quote it word for word without getting one word mixed up or different. You could quote it word for word. John 3:16, they say, is the most quoted and most memorized verse of Scripture in the entire Bible. I do know this. I remember Vacation Bible School. I remember the little children coming in the first of the week as they come in on Monday for first day of Vacation Bible School. They do not know. They can't even quote John 3:16, not the verse, just that saying, just that book and the chapter and the verse. They can't even do that, John 3:16. For they don't know it a lot of times. Many of them coming to Vacation Bible School don't. And then I watch as the week goes on and day after day, and they're beginning to learn John 3:16. And then they figure out there's more to it than John 3:16, and then they start filling in and quoting, "For God so loved the world." Boy, isn't that great? John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave." Isn't that wonderful? Well, who did he give? Well, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Amen. And on and on and on. And then by the end of the week, well, they're standing up there. I remember as we'd have Vacation Bible School, graduation, or whatever exercise you call it, but they would stand up there, and the little class, here they are, little bitty boys and girls, and they all stand up, and the teacher's sitting there on the front pew instructing them, and they go through it. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." And boy, they go through that verse. They learn it in a week's time. Amen. And then I'm reminded of people when they begin to get old, and not necessarily old nowadays. A lot of us young people are forgetful. Amen. But even older people, when they begin to, their mind begins to fade a little bit, and they forget a lot of things. But you know what? I found folks that they can't hardly remember who is in their family and who is son and daughter and who's just visitor. They can't remember that. Some of them can't even remember their husband or their wife. But my friend, I've been there with them when they can't remember those things, but you begin to talk about the Lord and you say, do you remember the verse of Scripture, John 3:16? And they begin to quote it. It's amazing what John 3:16 will do for us and how it will bless us. And I know we think, well, we're beyond John 3:16, Brother Danny. We're not those little kids in Vacation Bible School. And maybe we're not that person that's forgetful. We're in between. We really, John 3:16, you know, it's kind of lost its effectiveness in our lives because we've kind of outgrown it. That's the problem with most of us. We've grown too much. In that sense, my friend, we figure that the Bible doesn't mean anything to us anymore and it's not really for us. But John 3:16 still holds a special place in my heart. I trust that it does in yours. Amen. For I'm going to say it like this. It's the greatest verse of Scripture in the Bible. Now, it doesn't mean it's any more of God's Word than any of the other Bible. It doesn't mean that God's power rests upon John 3:16 much more than any other verse. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying because of it being quoted, because of it being memorized and used so many, many, many ways, my friend, I would say John 3:16 is the greatest verse of Scripture in the Bible. And here's the reason that I do that. I begin to look at John 3:16. And it says this, for God. I find that the Bible is speaking about the greatest God there is. That's the reason this verse is so great, because it talks about the greatest God. Now you say, but there's only one God. Well, I know what you're saying, I think. But the Bible says there are many gods. And that word gods, it starts with a small g. Amen? Meaning they're, I guess we could say it this way, they're useless. Because they are. They're man-made gods. Amen? As a matter of fact, my friend, listen, every god that there is other than the God of this Bible is man-made. There was no other god that came along until man came along, and man came up with this bright idea and has made many gods. Amen? And my friend, the truth is, without man, those gods will not stand. But we serve the God, not that we made, but the God that made us. Amen. He is the creator. He's the greatest God. The Bible tells us that he faileth not. God, the Lord God of this book, of the Lord God of heaven, my friend, he faileth not. He will not fail. He has never failed. He will never fail. The Bible is very plain. It's very simple. My friend, it says I believe it's Zephaniah, it says that he faileth not. Amen? Well, I don't know about you, but if I'm going to serve a God, I want to serve one that won't fail. Hey, he's not only one that doesn't fail, but he's the God of eternity. He's always been. Before there was anything here, there was God. The Bible says it like this, the book of Revelation. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Why would we want to serve any other God that just came up here in the last few years, the last 100 years, the last 1,000 years, the last 2,000, the last 5,000? Hey, the last million years. You say, Brother Danny, we're not, the earth is not a million years old. I know, but time is. Time has always been, and God's always been. Amen? Before anything was, there was God. Amen. And he's made everything. And the Bible says in the book of John, chapter number 1, without him, there was not anything made that was made. Well, I'm telling you, he's made it all. We talk about God, and folks talk about their God sometimes. And if you would listen to their God is a miserable God. Amen. But boy, when we begin to talk about God, the God of this Bible, we realize he's an awesome God. I mean, there's no limitations to God. Amen. I mean, he is limitless, my friend, in supplying our needs. Isn't it something? The world is so afraid of running out of this and running out of that. You know, we're going green. I don't know why they picked green, but I guess it's better than pink. Amen. But we're afraid of running out of oxygen. We're afraid of running out of our natural resources. We're afraid of running. And my friend, yet we serve a God that, there's no limit to his resources. Amen. I mean, can you imagine when we get to heaven, there'll be nobody talking about going green? Amen. Won't be any recycling in heaven. Won't even be any bicycling in heaven. Amen. But won't be any recycling in heaven. I mean, why? Because God. If we'd realize, now listen, I'm not for destroying this earth in which we live upon. I think we ought to take care of it. But I think somebody, some nut's in charge of it now, and he's gone crazy. Amen. Better not cut a tree down. The whole earth is going to fall apart if we cut a tree down. You know, some folks just go nuts with this thing. Amen? Well, let me remind you, God made this earth and all the things here. And he, listen, when he made this earth, when he caused this thing to be, he put it together to last an X number of days. Are you listening to me? You and I can't bring it to an end before then. Hey, they can't even push a button and blow it all up before God gets ready for it too. Amen. He'll just short their wiring out. Amen. Do we realize who this God is? The awesomeness of this God in which we serve today. I mean, folks, listen to me. I stand in awe. I mean, we think about all the communications and, you know, you get your phone out, man, you can dial up somebody and talk to them, even in another country. And there ain't no wires hooked to it. Why, you can send folks a text. Man, you can do all kinds of things. But before all of that, God was already in heaven speaking to man on earth. Amen. He was already using all of, even, he's far advanced. He don't even need the phone. Amen. Stop, think about it. He don't need, listen, we don't need the wires. God says, I don't even need the phone. Amen. We ought to be excited about this God that we serve. Well, we ought to realize how awesome he really is. I mean, my friend, listen, he made this earth and he says it's going to last this number of days, and he knows. God knows. The Bible says he knows exactly when this thing's coming to an end, and it will not end before then, nor a day later. It'll happen when he says it's going to happen. It don't matter how many plastic bottles we throw out the window. It don't matter how many trees we cut down. My friend, it don't matter how many trees we leave standing, neither. It won't prolong it. It's only going to last as long as God's got it made for. And my friend, there'll be exactly what we need as long as this world lasts until that last day. Amen. What gets me is we say, yeah, what about that? But we usually miss the point. The point is God made it this way. You see, we say, yeah, I believe that. Man, this earth is going to last just as long as it's supposed to, and that's it. Yeah, but God made it this way. Amen. He's not limited. He's not sitting in heaven and saying, oh, if this thing doesn't hurry up and come to an end, they're going to run out of oxygen. Oh, I don't know what's going to happen. It's just going to be awful. God's not doing that. He's on his throne just saying, things are going as planned, because they are. All of these wars and rumors of war, what are we going to do? God's saying, all's going according to plan. You mean God's allowing these things to happen? Innocent children being killed in wars and all of that? Wait just a second. Who's killing the innocent babies in the United States of America? Those unborn babies, you go ahead and blame it on God if you want to, but you're an idiot. Amen. You know what happened? Somewhere down the road, some of us voted. We didn't vote according to the scriptures. We voted according to our biffle. We voted because we thought it'd be best for the economy. We didn't consult God, see what he wanted us to do. We just voted according to the economy. And now we're getting exactly what we voted for. And we're still griping. Amen. Now, some of you wasn't sure whether you were coming back tonight or not. And now you know. Amen. Because you know what? Some of us just can't handle the truth. Amen. But God says it's all right. It's okay. Still going according to plan. You may mess your life up, but God says you're not messing my plan up. It's still going according to plan. He's the greatest God there is. He's the God that commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the God we're talking about this morning. The God that loves us. You say, well, I don't even know if He exists. And He says, but I love you anyway. Amen. Isn't that something? What, some of you guys, you remember when you were a young boy, teenager, met that girl? Huh? And you was getting in her face, doing all this kind of stuff. She didn't even know you existed. But you did, didn't you? You still existed. You'd get off in the corner and cry. She don't even know that I'm alive. You still existed, didn't you? Listen, that's what I'm telling you about God. You may not believe in Him, but He believes in you. Amen. He loved you so much, He gave His only begotten Son. Woo! Praise the Lord. That'll get a shout out of you. Amen. It should. God loved you when you was unlovable. I'm not talking about since you cleaned up and got into church and started living right. I'm talking about back yonder before you got cleaned up, before you started living right, before you even cared about living right. God loved you anyway with your filthy mouth, your filthy habits, all the filth that was in your life. God said, I don't love that, but I love you. Amen. Amen. What a God. What a God that reaches beyond the bounds of man and He loves everybody. He loves, what's that song say? Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Oh, we may be prejudiced, but God's not. Aren't you thankful? Praise the Lord. Woo, what a God. Man, I tell you, we ought to just take time out and shout a while and then call it back into order. Amen. We all just praise the Lord for this God, the greatest God, the greatest God. Listen, we look back and there were some great kings in the Old Testament. Amen. They were some great kings in the Old Testament. I mean, we talk about presidents. We've had some, I guess we would call it great presidents. Most of them came along before you and I did. But we had some great presidents in the United States of America. Amen. But we're talking about the greatest God that there is by far. I mean, there's not even a second best. Amen. We're talking about a God, my friend, that is just, He's all, the only word I know to use it, He's awesome. He's awesome. When all other gods have come and done all that they can do and they fail, God's still a-going. And you know what? Here's the good thing. He don't even need my help nor yours. He was a great God before we came along. He'll be a great God after we've gone. Man has never propped God up. Listen to me. The gods of this world, man has to prop them up and make them what they are. But God, He doesn't need any of us. He was God before He ever made us. When there was just God, He was still God. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, what a God we serve today. The Bible says, for God so loved. Well, you know what makes this the greatest verse? Because of the God that it talks about. But you know what else? The greatest love. For God so loved. Isn't it something how that God uses that word, that little two-letter word, to describe His love for us? Just a two-letter word, Brother Justin. So. That don't mean much, does it? You ask you, we're there now with our grandchildren. You know, we used to talk about our kids. Now we talk about the grandchildren. And some folks say, oh, they don't have parents. Because we forget about our sons and our daughters. We just talk about the grandchildren. Amen? They had the babies and they disappeared. We hadn't seen them. No. They're still here with us. Amen? But we talk about our grandchildren. You say to that little grandson or granddaughter, you say, how much do you love Papa? And they'll say, so much. So much. Boy, that'll do something for your heart. It'll cause it to pump peanut butter. Amen. Crunchy. Amen. I mean, it'll just do your heart so good to hear them say, how much do you love Nana? How much do you love Papa? And they say, so much. Well, that so, you read so much into that so, don't you? I mean, don't you? Oh, they love me. I read more in it than Miss Pam does, because when they say that, I know they're talking. When they say so much, they really mean it, Papa. She's just added in, you know. But they're really meaning Papa. Even when they're saying something just to Nana, I know they're saying, get this back to Papa. Amen? Oh, but they say so much. Where'd they get that from? They got it from the Bible. For God so loved with the greatest love that man has ever known. As a matter of fact, it's such a love most people never will get to know about that love, because they'll refuse Jesus Christ as their Savior. And because of that refusal of Jesus, they'll never experience what real, genuine love is all about. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you, this world is caught up in not love, but in lust. This world is all about lust. It's about lust. They think that's love. I love you. No. They ought to say it like this: I lust you. Because it's a fact. Young people today, I hate it, but they're growing up. If they're not in a Christian home around Christians, my friend, they don't know a thing about love. And they say that, I love you. And it means, my friend, that they can come and be with you for a while and then dump you for somebody else. Is that love? No! God's love is eternal love. You're 89?
I'm 88.
Excuse me. You want to fight about it? How long y'all been married? How long you been married?
32 years.
32 years. Well, amen. Somebody in here been married 50 years or more? Would you raise your hand? Dear me. Amen. They're not even ashamed of it, isn't it? Did you notice they quickly did that? Well, I'm going to tell you, you know what? Real love will, listen, you say it'll last. Let me tell you what real love will do. Real love will endure. That's better than lasting. To endure means you go through the hardships, the wonderful times, the awful times. Amen? And what do? You still love. Amen? You're not looking for a new one. Oh, not this late in life. It'll wreck everything we are. Amen? No. And it's not just, well, I'm satisfied with the one I got. No. You know what real love is? I'm happy with the one I've got. We're talking about God's love. It endureth. Amen. Even when we fail Him, He still loves us. And He never cast us away. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, for God so loved, we talk about love. And my friend, when you talk about love, you got to talk about God. Because this love is a God love. Amen.
Amen.
And the Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. Amen. What a love that when we were old, dirty, rotten sinners, God said, I love you. Not only am I saying it, but I'll prove it. And He gave His Son to die on the cross of Calvary. That's real love, you see. Well, when God says, I love you, He proved it at Calvary. But wait just a second. He proves it every day. For every day that we fail Him, He still loves us. Isn't that amazing? Boy, no wonder we like this verse, John 3:16. Because it's the greatest there is. The greatest God, the greatest love. For God so loved the world that He gave. My friend, I think about that. That He gave what? The greatest gift. His only begotten Son. There's never been a gift given like Jesus. Boy, isn't it amazing about this gift of Jesus Christ? He fits all. He fits male and female. Amen? This great gift fits us all. It fits the rich. It fits the poor. It fits the tall. It fits the short. It fits the skinny and the not so skinny. Amen? I mean, think about it. Listen, this love, this same love that we're talking about, that caused this gift to be given, this gift fits every one of us regardless of what color we are. Amen. Regardless of what country we're from, this gift fits us all. It doesn't have to be kind of worked on to fit in. Oh, no, 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 no. This gift fits in every life. It's amazing to me that little children can come, 5, 6 years of age. They can come and accept Jesus Christ, this gift. And here's the thing about it. They know what to do with this gift. Have you ever gotten a gift? What I do with it? Huh? I've gotten some of those gifts. Well, I don't know what to do with it. I don't know if it takes batteries or not. Amen? But have you noticed this great gift, Jesus Christ? Everybody knows exactly what to do with him. What do you do with Jesus? You're saying you know exactly what to do with him. What do with him? You worship him. You love him. You adore him. Little children know that. Oh, how I love Jesus. Huh? My friend, listen to me. What a gift that God gave. A gift that's for every one of us. Even we can be mad this morning and this gift is for us. We can be glad this morning and this gift is for us. We can come in our life a total disaster and this gift is for us. Or we could come in thinking our life is just great and my friend, it's victorious and this gift is still for us. What a gift. What a nut that would refuse this gift. I mean, after all, it is a gift. I'm going to give you this gift. How much money you got? No, 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 wait. That's not a gift, is it? A gift is freely given. And that's what God did with his son. He freely gave him, and his son came and freely died on the cross of Calvary that you and I might go free. Amen? Didn't cost us a thing. No, didn't cost. Boy, I remember that night when I went forward and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I wasn't digging in my pocket. I wasn't trying to get to my ATM card, my debit card of any kind. I wasn't trying to get to a credit card. I wasn't trying to get to the cash. I wasn't trying to get to nothing, my friend. I just knew I needed Jesus. And when I called upon him, he came in. And when he came in, he fit. And I'm going to tell you something. For that moment, for that night, not only did he fit, but he filled. He fit and filled. There was no voidness there when Jesus came in. He took up every bit of space in my heart. And he did yours too when you got saved. Now you might have went back and reclaimed some of that space, but when he came in that day, that night, whenever it was, when he came in, he completely fulfilled your life until you started claiming back some of the property, if you will, the heart. But for a while, he not only filled it, not only came in and occupied it, but he filled it up, praise the Lord. That's what he wants to do tonight or today. He wants to fill your life up with him. Why? Well, it ought not have to be said, but remember when you got saved? Wasn't that a glorious few days, few weeks, few months? I don't know how long it lasted for you. I'm not talking about salvation, how long it lasted. I'm talking about that joy of the Lord. Remember, there was a time there that it was so good, whoo, you couldn't hardly stand it. Hey, man, I mean, you couldn't keep your mouth shut. You'd say, oh, I need to quit talking about, oh, by the way, did I tell you about Jesus? Amen. Well, I was lost and on the road to hell. Jesus came into my heart, forgave me my sins and saved me. I got to quit that because it's offending folks. What did I tell you about that day when I went and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior? You see, for a while, boy, it was just flooding over in your soul. I mean, that old cup just kept running over and over and over. And wasn't that a good time? God's saying, I want it back. I want it back like it used to be. I want to fulfill all of that. I want to take up all that space in your heart. If you'll let me, I'll just become number one again. After all, shouldn't he be? Amen. That's the reason the Bible says that he's the Lord. Lord means he's number one. He's all over me. Amen. I mean, he is number one. All I'm here for is to live for him. And that ain't bad. That's good. Amen. That's how we have a happy marriage, isn't it? The husband tries to please the wife. The wife tries to please the husband. Amen. And you set out, and that's your goal, and you know what? Sure enough, you have a happy marriage. That's what we're talking about. God wants that happy marriage with us. We've been espoused unto Him. Amen. And He wants that happy marriage with us. And we ought to set out to please Him. After all, He does please us. Amen. Oh, the greatest, I'm telling you, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The greatest gift. The greatest gift that the world has ever known is the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll not go wrong. You'll not go wrong by accepting Him as your gift today, as that gift of eternal life. Not only that, but I noticed right quick, the greatest plan. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, whosoever believeth in Him. Well, when the Lord found me that night, I was lost on the road to devil's hell. I was a young boy, 19 years of age, and backwards and shy as I could be. I know some of you don't believe that even to this day, but it's a fact. I was backwards and shy. They call us introvert. If you'd have called me that when I was young, I'd have probably shot you because I didn't know what it meant. But now I know. Amen. But I was one of those. I mean, I just could not communicate to folks, and I was backwards. And because of all of that, my friend, it affected every bit of my being. Every bit of me was damaged, if you will, because of that. I'm serious. And the Lord found me, and my friend, I mean, He had said, now, here's what you got to do. You got to get up there and make a big, long speech, and if you do that, I'll come into your heart. No, He didn't do that. Well, you got to go up there and face the crowd, tell them exactly, word for word, what happened to you. No, thank God, He didn't do that either. He just told me if I'd accept Him, He'd come into my heart and live. And you know what? He did. Amen. You say, but I see you up there now making speeches or preaching, whatever you want to call it. I see you up there now. I know, but boy, isn't He wonderful? He'll change you. He'll change your life. And don't worry about it. Don't get scared. Don't get scared. He didn't save me that night and the next night said, now you're preaching tonight. He worked on me gently over the space of time to call me to preach. And when it happens, if it should happen in your life, He will enable you to do it. So don't worry about it. He won't have you doing something that He can't do. I said it right. He won't have you doing something that He can't do. Amen. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever... Well, when I get to thinking about that, out of all the people of the world, March the 27th, 1969, on a Thursday night at Calvary Baptist Church, out of all the people in the world, He picked me. And He said, whosoever... I'm standing there during the invitation thinking, I'm nothing special. He said, you're a whosoever. I don't have any talents. You're a whosoever. I don't even know anything about the Bible at all. I mean nothing at all because I never went to church. We weren't brought up in church and all of that. And He said, but you're a whosoever. But I'm not well thought of. I'm not one of those people that everybody says, wow, I want my boy to grow up be like Danny Long. No. They was all wanting them to be opposite from Danny Long. But God said, but you're a whosoever. And I realized that's exactly who I am. Still am today. Just an old whosoever. We think we got to be something special for God to save us. He says, whosoever. Whosoever. Aren't you glad tonight that He's after the whosoevers? Amen? I mean, it don't matter. You say, but I don't think I can live it. I knew I couldn't. But He said, yeah, that's not what I'm after. Somebody can live it. Because if you can live it, then you don't need Me. That's what God would say. But you're a whosoever. Boy, I went forward that night. And you know what He did? He saved this old whosoever. Amen? And He'll do the very same thing for you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him. Boy, what a great plan. It'll work every time. Not 99.9% of the time, but every time this plan will work. All it takes is somebody that'll believe this God and trust in Him, and they'll be saved. It's a fail-proof thing with the Lord. I mean, He is, listen to me, He's got it all figured out. It's all planned out, and it will work today just like it did in 1969. It'll work today just like it did in the Bible days. And I'm going to tell you something, this plan will work until Jesus comes back, and then He'll change plans. Amen. Because that'll change things then. But oh, I'm telling you, the greatest plan. And then I noticed something else, and I am trying to hurry. But there's the greatest deliverance. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Praise God. I've been delivered from sin. Amen. I've been delivered from the power of sin. You know what sin does? Sin destroys. Adam and Eve were in the garden. Everything was perfect. There was no sin. There was no death. There was no failure until sin entered in. When sin came into the picture, my friend, it began to destroy immediately. First thing it brought with it was death. Boy, I'm telling you, listen to me, that death is passed upon all of mankind. Amen. Even God says it in the book of Hebrews. He says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you, folks, listen to me. But when I get to thinking about the scripture here, I find the greatest deliverance. Where at that time, before I got saved, had I died, I would have been eternally separated from God. But God delivered me. Sin had power over me, and I could not break that power. I could not say no to sin. And I know some folks argue and say, well, I can. You can't do it. You and I can do it. We do not have the ability to say no to sin. It just will come up on us. It's just there. As sure as we turn from this sin to keep from committing sin, we run into sin over here. Sin is everywhere. It's got a hold on us, folks. That's what the Bible says. We're in bondage to sin if we're lost. But Jesus came along to do what? Set us free. Amen. He broke that bondage. Hallelujah. Now that sin has no more dominion over us. It does not rule and reign over us, my friend. We are no longer a servant to sin, the Bible says in the book of Romans, but we have been set free. Amen? Why? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. The greatest deliverance. You see, I'm not going to perish. You look at me and you say, Brother Danny, you're going to die. Oh, this old flesh is. But the real me, my soul, will never die. There'll never be any eternal separation from God, not with me. Because Jesus paid the price at Calvary. I see the greatest deliverance. And then the last thing I want to share with you, the greatest possession. The greatest possession. He says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Boy, we put so much emphasis on the things we all owe, don't our own. Oh, I mean, we brag about what we own. I've been working 50 years to get this, and we brag about it. My friend, the greatest possession an individual can have is everlasting life. I just said something about it, but that's the greatest possession we can have is everlasting life. So, what if you went through life and you've worked hard? And I'm not putting that down, but you've worked hard and you labored hard and you got a fine house sitting over here on some beautiful land, and then maybe you've even worked a little harder and you've got a second home down south. Well, that went over real good. Amen. Maybe you don't have a second house. You just wish you had one. Amen. But you got the second house and you've got land with it and all, and you've worked hard and you've got investments made so that you can live pretty good the rest of the days of your life. Then you got all this all planned out and worked out and everything may be going according to your plans. But then death comes. All these things are left behind. Your children, you say, yeah, I'm doing that for my children. Yeah, your children get it. Most of the time, the inheritance doesn't last long at all. Because they don't know how to handle it. After all, they didn't work for it. Amen. All that you've tried to do for your children most of the time is in vain when it comes to the things of this world. Because they don't know how to handle it. They'll sell it before the grass starts growing on the grave. Or they'll fuss and fight over it, and now they've got a division. The last thing you'd want for your family is division. Because one of them wanted the truck, and the other one wanted the truck, and the third one wanted the truck, and the fourth one said, I better get the truck. And there's only one truck. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. So what you've left behind is chaos. Though you didn't mean to, but that's exactly what you left behind. Because listen to me, that's all this world knows is chaos. And that's what you've left them. And now you've died, and all you did during your lifetime was work hard to have these things. And because of that, you had no time for God. You were too busy, you're not necessarily getting out here and living like the devil, but you were just too busy for God. You just didn't have time for God. There were more important things, and now death has come, and you find out the most important thing I had to do on earth was to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But I didn't know Him. And now in hell, the Bible says, in hell you'll lift up your eyes, being in torments. Day and night you'll be tormented in that awful place called hell that we don't speak of anymore, but it's still just as real as it was when the old time preachers used to preach it, and it'd get hot in a service because there's a preaching about that pit of fire that people went to that didn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now you're there. You can work as hard as you want to in hell, but you can never get out. You can try to get on the goody-goody list, but you'll find out there is no goody-goody list in hell. In other words, you won't get out because of good behavior. It's going to be an awful, awful place. The Bible declares it so. It's going to be a place of remembrance. You're going to remember this Sunday and the other Sundays, the other times that you've heard this preached about, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It's going to come back and it's going to haunt you in hell, but it won't do you any good. It'll be there. I mean, it'll be, I believe, every time you think about it, it'll be like a fresh message, a brand new one, all over again, brand new. But it won't matter because you still can't do a thing about it. You say, but Brother Danny, if I cry out loud enough and if I'm sincere, you'll be in hell throughout all eternity. That's the truth of it, because you can't get out. The greatest possession you can have is not the houses and the land, not the cars and the trucks, not the money appropriated in different areas of investment, but the greatest possession you'll have is everlasting life. Amen. You can have the Lord Jesus Christ and have a nice home to live in, some property, maybe some money put away or invested, and take up time to serve your Lord, Jesus Christ. Put Him first in your life. You say, well, that won't leave back much for the children. Yeah, listen to me. And then death comes. And what little you have, you leave it behind. If you've lived your life for the Lord like you should have lived your life for the Lord, listen to me very carefully. I'm not here to offend you, but I'm being honest with you. If you've lived your life for the Lord like you have supposed to done, your children would take what little you have left behind and they'll make much out of it, because they will know Jesus Christ as their Savior also. Amen. And one day, because you were saved and you left this legacy behind for your children to follow, they too will know Jesus, and you'll get to see them throughout all the countless ages yonder in heaven. I'm telling you something, folks. The greatest possession you'll have is everlasting life. And the only way you can have it is through Jesus Christ. You say, well, I've got other ways of working this out. The Bible says in John chapter 14 and verse number 6, Jesus is speaking of himself, and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He's the only way. You say, well, go ahead, preacher, believe what you want, but I believe, listen to me, it's not, I can't believe, I can't afford to believe what I want to. You say, what? You don't believe what you want to? Let me tell you what I believe. This is it. You'll not, whose heaven is it? Is it my heaven? Is it your heaven? It's not even the Baptist heaven. It's God's heaven. And you'll go to God's heaven God's way, or you won't go at all. Well, I thought, that's the good thing about this salvation. You don't have to think about it. God's done all the thinking, all the preparation. All we need to do is believe and trust Jesus as our Savior. Let's all stand this morning. If it's all right, Miss Pam will sing number 13, okay? Let's all stand this morning for a word of prayer. I wonder this morning if you know the Lord Jesus Christ standing at the altar. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you say, preacher, with our heads bowed right quick, you say, preacher, I don't know Jesus as my Savior. I've not accepted him. I don't guess I see it the way you see it, but you know, I'd appreciate if you'd pray for me, because I don't want to take a chance on dying without him, and I'd sure like to know that heaven would be my home. Preacher, would you pray for me that I'd let God speak to my heart this morning and maybe I could get saved? Would you pray for me? Is there one like that this morning? Would you slip your hand up right quick and then drop it right back down? I'm not going to come to you and embarrass you. Just want to pray for you. Is there one? You say, preacher, it's me. You don't have to say a word. Just slip your hand up and drop it back down. You're letting me know to pray for you. I'm not going to come to you. No one else is either. You say, preacher, it's me. I'd like to know Jesus as my Savior. Would you pray for me? Is there one? Is there one young and old alike? What about it this morning? What about it? You say, well, I'm a member of the church. That's not what we're asking you. Well, I've been baptized. No, no, you've missed the question. The question is, if you were to die today, would heaven be your home? You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, then you ought to want prayer. You say, I do, preacher. Pray for me. Is there one like that? Is there one? One, if there's a Christian here today, and say, you know, preacher, boy, that is a great verse, isn't it? Man, I didn't realize I've got a great God in my heart, and I didn't even realize how great he was. I've got all this great love, this great life. I mean, all of this. Well, preacher, God sure is good to me. Would you pray for me that I'd share him with others? That I'd tell others about his greatness. Would you pray for me? Is there one like that? Would you slip your hand up? Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Preacher, pray for me. I want to tell her. I've got somebody on my mind, on my heart this morning. Already somebody came to my mind. I wish they knew this great God. Preacher, would you pray for me that I might be able to tell them? Yes, God bless you. Yes, yes, God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Are there others this morning? You be honest with us today. This is what revival is about. It's about us getting to the place, Christians, where we ought to be, telling others about our blessed Savior, the greatest God that ever was and ever is and ever will be. He's my God. Well, we ought to brag on him. We ought to lift him up. You won't have to stretch the truth when you talk about God, my friend, for he's every good thing. Father, Lord, we ask you this morning that you would just have your way in this invitation. Father, help us this morning as Christians to come to the altar of prayer. We've asked for prayer. Many hands went up, Lord, asking us to pray for them. And I want to lift them up right now. And here's what I'm asking you, Father. I'm not asking you to grant them anything except one thing. That's courage to step out and to come to you, that they might believe you, not me, but they'll believe you for their needs. I pray today, God, that you'll speak to their hearts. I pray, dear Lord, for those that might be here lost this morning, those that do not know you as their personal Savior, Lord, that they'd quit making excuses. They'd just throw that aside today. They'd come to know you as their personal Savior. Have thine own way in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's keep our heads bowed. Brother Justin, would you come and stand up front? Someone may need a little assistance this morning. Christian, you raised your hand. Why don't you flood the altar this morning? Come on. Come on. You raised your hand. You want us to pray for you. We prayed for you. Now, what are you going to do? Won't you come? Cover the altar up this morning. Lord, don't you know that would make God happy in heaven to see His people flooding an altar, covering it all up, and praying and talking with Him? Oh, He's a great God. He's an awesome God. He deserves, you say, I'll just pray. Hey, He deserves at least us to fall on our knees before Him and acknowledge, hey, I am nothing. I'm just a whosoever. I'm just a whosoever. Why don't you come this morning? If you need any help, you come to Brother Justin. He'll get someone to help you today. Won't you come? Jesus is waiting on you this morning. If you can't bend your knees, your back, or something like that, God understands. Just come and find you a spot up here to the side and stand. Just come and stand. Let that be your altar. God knows your heart. You could be the one that's bowed the lowest this morning by standing up here. If your knees won't let you, if your back won't let you. Now don't let that keep you from coming and praying. With arms stretched out, He's beckoning you, lost person, to come and know Him as your Savior. He's beckoning you, Christian, to come this morning. Come this morning. Renew those vows that you made to God. Renew that acquaintance with Him, that fellowship, that relationship. Come this morning. Come on. Come on.
How many times have you said no and you've turned Him away? But in His love and mercy, He calls you
one more time.
More time today.
One more time today. She loves you.
This could be your final
This could
hope.
Be it.
Please don't wait too late to pray. Jesus is standing.
And He's waiting. He literally is. He's waiting on you this morning. So just come and say yes to Him. Just come and say, Lord, You're an awesome God. Lord, You're an awesome God. I have failed to acknowledge that by the way I live, Lord. I need to exalt You and lift You up above all the gods of this world. Won't You come?
Don't let this moment pass you by.
This is Your time. This is Your time for You and Your God to bow down together and to pray.
He beckons you. He wants to make Your life anew. Jesus is standing at the altar. He's waiting for you. With outstretched arms, He beckons you. He wants to make
your time
anew. Jesus is standing at the altar. He's waiting.
All of it was for